Yeah.
I only met him a year ago, and I moved out here. That was the plan to move out here all along.
Yeah.
I've been in Chicago for about 9 years. So,
you started young.
Yeah, I started
that, right? Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're already on anyways. Welcome to The Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can like us at The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. I once again want to thank everyone for last week. We did some pretty great numbers when it came to our 100th episode. And then we had Scott Hicks on Thursday, and I thought it was a fantastic interview. I don't want to brag too much, but I predicted the right amount of money his movie would make this weekend. I think Scott Hicks owes me a roll.
Okay.
Or five.
So this is how it works now. You predict the box office, and then you should get a job.
You know I'm like 5 for 5 at that with our guests, though.
You're good at it. I'm not going to sell you short.
I'm on fire.
But you, all right.
I'm on fire. And I predicted that Steve Harvey movie would make 30+ mil, and it did.
Yeah.
I'm on fire.
I don't know. Ooh. I don't think you're some kind of entertainment clairvoyant. I think it's a hack oddity. Okay? If you want to be the Kreskin of movie grosses, if you want to be like that guy that Ed Wood employed, that blonde guy, Criswell, that TV psychic, then that's fine. But you shouldn't expect an industry job.
I just want to get a check in the mail each week that pays my rent.
Okay.
That's all I really want.
Well, I'm with you there.
We are here with my co-host.
Lee Capreas, hello.
And, of course, my very special guest today, and I say that because I'm a very, very big fan of this guy. I mean, I really love his writing. I love a documentary he did a few years ago about Ralph Nader. It aired on IFC, I know.
Unreasonable Man.
Unreasonable Man, right. And Steve Scroven's here to promote Public Citizen Presents Stand Up for Main Street.
That's right.
And Steve, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, Matthew. Lee, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I want to give people the background here.
Yeah.
You were a 2-time Emmy Award winner.
Yeah.
Now, as most of my TV friends say, they kind of give themselves those Emmy Awards sometimes in fractions because they're, you know, it's a part of a team
it
and
is,
all that.
Yes.
But everybody loves Raymond. You won 2 Emmy Awards.
Yes, and I was largely responsible. So I don't know what those other guys told you, but it was really all me. I was carrying that entire staff for 9 years.
I believe it. I hear that Rosenthal guy's a slacker.
Especially Rosenthal.
He's a slacker.
He's drunk constantly. He's it's either and Ray is just sex. You know, one is alcohol, one is sex. Neither one of them paid any attention to the show at all. It was pretty much all me riding roughshod on those other mooks.
Were the id, you were the superego.
I was all three actually. That's how super my ego is.
I'm sure it was very hard to get Ray to even show up for that little show. It was difficult. I am looking at this lineup. I just want to start off right off the bat.
For Stand Up for Main Street.
Yes, go to citizen.org, Stand Up for Main Street. Tickets are $100.
Yep.
It's at the Writers Guild Theater here in Los Angeles for our Los Angeles listeners. But wait till you hear this lineup. You got Ray Romano, of course, headlining. Big deal. This guy, Mark Maron, he has another show. That's nice. Dana Gould, Wendy Liebman, Rick Overton, Eric Rivera, and Morgan Murphy.
That's right, yeah.
That's a pretty good lineup.
It is virtually a murderer's row of comedy, and David Feldman will be hosting.
I was upset I didn't get the invite to perform, but now I kind of see why.
Well, we did it last year. It hasn't even been a full year. We did it in June.
Yeah.
And we had Roy Zimmerman, who's like the Tom Lehrer of modern-day Tom Lehrer. He's out of San Francisco. We had Paula Poundstone, Andy Kindler, Bill Burr, Dom Herrera, Garland.
All right. Yeah.
It was a pretty good show.
So all my arch enemies on one show and Bill Burr, who I have no problem with. No. We have our good Jeff Garland stories.
Yeah.
Jeff's been on the show a few times.
He has, okay.
And it's never been under I never feel like he wants to be here, but good for Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever get that feeling with Jeff, like he just shows up to show up?
Well, Jeff, I don't know how much I want to say about Jeff. I Jeff's a friend of mine, and he likes people to come to him.
He does.
Let's put it this way. He's a large man. He does not like to move much. He likes orbits. He likes planets orbiting around him.
It's what happens. It's funny, because the one time we got Jeff to come to us,
yeah.
and I was blown away.
Yeah.
And it's because we had John Landis with us.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
I put two and two together. It wasn't really for me at that point.
Right.
So I love Jeff. That was probably a killer show last year.
It was a killer show. This is at the Brentwood Theater on
George
the grounds
Zimmerman
of the VA.
You had, you said?
We did not have George Zimmerman.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
We had Roy Zimmerman.
Oh, right,
we
right,
had George
right.
Zimmerman. He went right there to the Neighborhood Watch. and then the rest of the story.
I unfortunately do.
No, it was Roy Zimmerman.
Roy Zimmerman.
Get that in your head.
So let me ask you the obvious question. You got Mark Maron on the bill. Why aren't you doing his show this week?
because he doesn't know who I am.
Uh-huh.
I'm some guy who bothered him to be on my show. Mark, I hope is plugging it on his show.
I hope so, too. I'll be listening.
Yeah, but I actually don't. I've never met Mark. I just know him by reputation.
Neither have I.
And he's, great stand-up comic, and he's going to, really enhance the show.
And then, of course, Dana Gould, who's just...
Dana Gould, who I have met only once, but I have met Dana.
Have you hung out with any of these people on the show? I bet if I bump into Ray, he don't know you.
Listen, I made Ray. And I don't care what Royce tells you. I made Ray. Of course I know Ray very well.
Yeah.
And
Wendy Liebman?
I know Wendy Liebman a little bit. I knew her a little bit. I know Rick Overton very well.
Yeah, Overton's great.
Overton actually was one of the first young people I saw do stand-up in the late 70s when I was in college.
Wow.
And then
that,
he
that's
was...
That little school you went to, Yale.
That's right, yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Rick was part of a team called Overton and Sullivan. Roger Sullivan was his partner. And they were booked to play my college, and Joe Piscopo opened for them.
I know Joe. Wow, we know all the same people,
but
none of my stories are good.
Well, I don't know Joe either, but I know Rick. I know Rick.
That's what we've been missing on the show is a good Joe story.
I got some.
Okay.
You got some Joe Piscopos?
Yeah, and I don't think I'm burning any bridges at this point with Joe stories.
Yeah.
Did he bench press you?
I like Joe. Joe, he's very buff. He's...
Oh, yeah.
That was not the question. The question was, did he bench press you?
No, he didn't bench press me, but he's a very good man. I love
his son. He cleaned and jerked you.
Yes.
Yes.
His son, Joey Piscopo, is fantastic. Joe just still...
He's still doing Miller Lite commercials.
Joe thinks he's still Joe. So
that's
the only thing with Joe. But God bless him. He's a good guy, and he's just doing the same act he did in 1984.
Yeah.
Kind of need to update it. Just a little. That's all. I love Joe, though. He's a good guy. You know, Joe saw me perform.
He's a Cobra Kai.
You know what? I should be way nicer. He's a Cobra Kai. I should be way nicer because Joe saw me the first time. He's the first person that discovered me performing stand-up, and he loved it. So, and he helped me out with some stuff. So I do love Joe.
He helps facilitate your meteoric rise.
Yeah. My Joe Piscopo rise. All right, back to Public Citizens Presents, though, stand-up. This is turning into an ugly show off the bat.
Really? It's so catty. We've trashed Garland and Piscopo.
We did not trash Garland.
I think it's our best show in a week.
Not yet.
This is Monday.
I'm loving everyone on this bill, though. I think Rick Overton's great, and I also think Rick Overton's one of those guys who disappears when he acts. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He disappears into roles.
He did, you saw The Informant.
The Informant, yeah.
He played such a great corporate cocksucker.
You would have never known he's a comedian.
Yeah. No.
That movie was full of comedians,
yeah,
too.
Well, Soderbergh, I guess, likes comics. It was it was Alan Havey.
Patton Oswalt, Tom Papa.
Yeah, even Tommy Smothers was in it.
Yeah.
Just about everybody, Joel McHale, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, so... That's what I would like to do if I get a show.
You should get a show.
I should.
You should get a show.
I should. I'm trying.
You recently just did Hot in Cleveland, right?
That's right.
I met Valerie Bertinelli a few months ago. She was the nicest woman.
Valerie
on the
is incredible. All
and
those
sexy.
Sexy. Easy, Matthew. Easy.
I'm just saying. I'm a fan.
And her husband is from Cleveland, which is my hometown.
I'm a bigger fan of her ex-husband, but yes.
Yeah.
Her current husband's cool, too, I guess.
Yeah. And yeah.
Doesn't play the guitar so well.
A little more stable influence. Yeah, but Valerie is great.
Has all his teeth.
Yeah, that's right.
I love Valerie. She was so sweet. She took a picture with my mom.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she was the nicest. She was. And I got to tell you something. I thought Hot in Cleveland was going to be a big pile of cheese.
Uh-huh.
It's funny.
It is funny.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And you guys get great guest stars, and you guys do a really good job of writing around all those characters.
Well, I'm not on the show anymore, but it was the funny thing about it was we would be able to get all of these old-time stars from the 70s and the 80s.
Rickles has been on it.
Everybody. You know, Steve Lawrence. And the joke was that we would have to check IMDb not to see if they're alive. Yeah, not to see if they're available, but see if they're actually alive. And, you know, when Tom Bosley died, we had to cross his name off the list.
Mr. C.
That's different. Yeah, that's different than most shows where they're looking for the hot, young thing. This was
show definitely proves there is a market for an older audience.
Well, it's the baby boomers who now, you know, who've always run everything. And I'm in that group.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we want our nostalgia.
Steve, why is the business the way it is right now, where everyone's trying to go young, but no one's building up young stars, but everyone's trying to go young when there's still an audience for these older crowds? And for an example, Darling Companion was on three screens this weekend. Lawrence Kasdan movie, Kevin Kline, Diane Keaton did very well on those three screens. I'll give you another example. It's Complicated, made $300 million at the box office. Hot in Cleveland, a show that you helped bring along, huge hit.
Yeah.
Huge hit. So tell me why is the business right now kind of scared of, like, is it advertisers? They want younger people? Is it, what is it?
I assume that has a lot to do with it. But you just basically gave examples that prove the opposite.
Yeah.
That there is a market, and I think the business is so fragmented now that you can really sort of target market. And I'm all of a sudden blanking on the network Hot and Clean was on.
TV Land, yeah.
Which was a nostalgia network. It was kind of a logical move to then create some original programming, but you still have that same group of people because there was an audience for that. So I think if you're talking about movies,
movies,
I think it's
TV.
A genre thing.
Yeah.
It's a genre thing where theatrical movies, it's where young people go out. People my age don't go out to the movies.
Yeah.
So you can't hardly blame them for trying to go for that. But
I think people your age go out for the movies when there's something dedicated towards them.
Maybe. Yeah, you know? Possibly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it's like I would see a movie with young people in it. I just won't see a stupid movie with young people.
Right, right, right.
You know,
I don't know. I just think it's funny. I'm watching these great guys like Ivan Reitman now direct No Strings Attached with Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, wasn't a bad movie. But I'm confused. I'm like, Ivan, so keep working with your bros. Keep working with the guys. Aykroyd. Keep working with all those guys. We
I don't know.
That work.
I guess in movies they've got the grid.
Yeah.
They've got the quadrant thing, and they put this person together who will get this audience, and this person will get this audience, and they stick them together and create some movie from the outside in.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's drawbacks to that kind of targeting, because then you get, I mean, they're basically saying, this is for this person, for that person, get in your area and stay there. I think targeting has some benefits, but I think it has some real flaws. But I do think maybe it probably plays better well on television than in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to tell you something. The host committee for the Citizens.org has some of my, like, idols on this fucking, you know. Okay. Citizen.org, Stand Up for Main Street, once again, $100 at the Writers Guild Theater. Check it out. Ray Romano, Mark Maron. But here's the thing. On the host committee, you got yourself, who I love. Okay. All right. I love you. That's okay. But
I
then
love
you
that.
You got Jennifer and Scott Frank.
Oh, you know Scott?
I know of him.
Yeah,
I know
Scott's a great
work.
Screenwriter.
Yeah, I know his work. He's amazing.
Get Shorty, Out of Sight, Minority Report.
Love
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Royce, Aaron Shore.
Yeah.
I love Aaron.
These are my Raymond buddies, Mike, Men of Certain Age. Aaron's been on The Office for the last few years.
Yeah, yeah, he's killed The Office. Yeah. Not in a bad way. I meant that in a good way. Killed.
Yes.
Like hip.
Yes.
Like baby, you're killing it.
He's killed it. Yeah, I'm a comedian, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say when you kill, it's good.
That's right. You speak in violent, aggressive
language. I sometimes forget we have a lot of young college listeners, and they go to film school and stuff, and I'll say someone killed something, and they'll be like, oh, they ruined that movie? They ruined that show? No, no, in a good way, in a good way.
They right. won't, but they're all high. They won't remember.
So, Steve,
yes, sir.
What does this host committee mean? What's this about?
Last year, I did this on my own.
Okay.
I pulled it out of my ass, basically.
And you did a good job from the sounds of it.
It worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out, but I had no idea what I was doing. I got asked to be on this board. And I was trying to think, what can I do to help? Because the board is full of a lot of these very smart and experienced lawyers and journalists and doctors. And I was kind of the class clown. You know, it was my job to kind of keep everybody laughing. So I decided I'll raise some money. And how do I know how to do that? I'll put on a show. And what kind of show? Stand-up. I know stand-up. So I got a couple of friends of mine to volunteer, Pat Buckle, Cheryl Bricker, Diana Kasten, and Janine Frank, and the four of us sort of got together, five of us got together, and we booked a theater. And that's okay, now we need to fill it with people and comedians. So Pat Buckles, who used to be the manager at the Improv in New York, she helped me book the show. Diana found a theater. Cheryl did just about everything else in between. All of the helped with the find us. Caterer and find the do the volunteer stuff, and I spent the last month before this show, which was last June, was basically my full time job trying to promote it.
Yeah,
and doing stuff like this, doing the radio, doing all different sorts of venues, bringing other comedians on to do it, and sure enough, by the last week we'd sold out the show. And then it turned out to be a great show. It went so well, they asked me to do it again. But this time, getting back to your question, I decided I'm not going to do it alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to – a lot of the people who came to the show who enjoyed it, I said, hey, they want me to do it again. Will you help me and be a sponsor and help me bring in, more audience using your contacts?
So what does a guy like Mike Royce do for you?
Mike and
Other than nothing.
Mike – Mike Royce and his wife Alexis, they're hosts. So what they do is they pledge $1,000.
Wow!
Either to give that or to get
ten
tickets.
Yeah.
And also spreading it to the networks. Like Mike has done a lot of tweeting because he does that. And
his tweets are funny.
Yeah, just to spread the word and fill the house for me.
All right, here's why I love Public Citizen. Here's why I want to help out so bad. And here's why I insist to give you money.
And this is why I like you.
And I'm going to give you this. I love I'm not funny. I'm not cool. He likes me because I like his charity. That's great. Okay, cool. All right.
We'll see how the rest of the show goes. Maybe I'll give you the funny, too.
I think he's just saying that those other things have yet to be seen. He's not saying that you don't have them.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and jerk off and fall asleep. All right, Public Citizen. Here's the thing about Public Citizen. Public Citizen, I'm going to read this right off the page.
By the way, Public Citizen really enjoys to have its name in the next sentence after jerk off. It's a classy organization. Let's have a little class here.
I try to keep it real here in Detroit-style Coney Dog 8873 West Sunset. I'm trying to put as many things with jerk-off.
But do you realize you're trying to keep it real in a Detroit place in Los Angeles?
Yes.
It's almost, by definition, impossible.
You know what, though? But jerk-off and go to sleep, is that not something that the public does, probably?
It's
Come
real.
On. I mean, we're with it
it's
here,
real.
Culturally.
But I'll tell you one place you're not going to be doing that. And that's Sunday night at the Writers Guild Theater.
No,
and if you do...
Neither one. Yeah. You will not be...
Yeah, you won't be doing...
Just get it done before
I don't know.
Before
how,
you show
maybe,
up.
Maybe if you get that excited about comedy, you could do that.
Yeah.
You definitely won't fall asleep.
That Dana Gould's a looker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's hot.
All right. He's got that hot librarian look.
But everyone's like, all right, okay, Matt, I get it. But where the hell's my $100 going towards? And it's going towards Public Citizen, which, just so I don't screw it up, I'm going to read it right off the page. Public Citizen is a national nonprofit advocacy organization that has been standing up to corporate power and holding the government accountable for 40 years.
Hey.
And here's what that translates to. Reason we have airbags, saved tens of thousands of lives.
Right.
23 dangerous drugs off the market, saved another thousands of lives.
Yeah.
We work in a lot of different areas. We have a litigation group, which is basically when serious cases come before the Supreme Court, they call us because we have the experience doing 60 cases in front of the Supreme Court. Freedom of Information Act, Clean Air Act, a lot of just landmark legislation has come through this organization. And the reason we call the event Stand Up for Main Street is because Public Citizen really stands up for people, real people, against the big Wall Street interests, against the K Street lobbyists, and that's how we define ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It can be kind of a lot of wonky procedural kind of stuff, but they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to support them.
I'd love to see Ralph Nader do some stand-up Sunday. Any chance of Ralph Nader doing stand-up?
Well, you know, he won't be there. He actually hasn't been. Ralph does a lot of stand-up, actually.
I believe it.
And he actually does have a sense of humor.
He's funny.
He can be a funny guy. And
I love Ralph.
The thing is Ralph can't do a tight 20.
He would go over. He wouldn't see the light.
He would not see the light. He gets off when he wants to get off.
Yeah.
And matter of fact,
speaking of.
No. Stop it. Stop it right now.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Ralph was famous for, you know, like when I interviewed people for the movie, people, they would tell me that they would accompany Ralph to speeches and stuff. And he would go on until the last person left. Because as long as there was somebody there that he could convert to the cause, he was going to talk.
He doesn't give up.
That's great.
Because after he'd do his speech, then there'd be question and answer, and he would just go until the last person left.
That's like me, too, but I have no life. Like, I have nowhere to go. I can't go home. So I talk to everyone until there's no one left in the building.
Yes.
And then I'm standing there by myself, and I have to...
And what are you talking about?
I'm trying to convert them to the Matthew Aaron cause. Matt needs to act. Matt needs to write. Matt needs to direct. Matt would like to get paid for doing the show.
Otherwise known as the Narcissism Project.
Yes. You know what? It's not so narcissism, though, when I can go get you coffee. I can buy you some Subway. I can be a personal assistant. I can be a PA. I can do anything.
Yeah.
So you're just looking for a job.
Yes.
I see.
Yes, but this is a around-the-year charity event. It happens every day.
Right.
I do stand around and talk to everyone until they leave. But yes. It's a daily charity event.
Right.
That we've raised no funds for.
Right.
Zero. It is the first charity event that's been running for 7 months and never raised a dollar.
I feel our first donation coming on any day now, though.
Osama bin Laden had more charitable services than I had.
Right.
People were giving him money.
Right.
Not me. No jobs, nothing. Osama, yes. That being said.
There was a man with gravitas, though.
Gravitas. Don't get in trouble, Ozzie Guillen.
I won't.
You're going to get me in trouble.
I know. I'm going to Ozzie Guillen this show now.
Yes, you're just Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah, I did.
I got to tell you, though, I love this organization because I love citizens who kind of take charge and don't just sit around and wait for things to happen
or hope
the government works out itself.
Yeah, because we watchdog government and we watchdog corporations. Mm-hmm. And basically, I mean, what appeals to me about an organization like this is they're the ones that fight the bullies. I'm a real sucker for people who fight bullies.
Yes, me too.
And so these are the guys who stand up with the know-how, and they just need the wherewithal to continue to do their great work.
Yeah, I think that's great.
I think it's great.
I'm really excited to go to this event, too. I'm
April 29th, Sunday.
April 29th.
6:30.
6:30, 8:30. It's at the Writers Guild Theater, which is on 135 South Doheny Drive in Beverly Hills.
Right off of Wilshire?
Yes. This is how great of a night you could make it. You go there from 6:30 to 8:30 Sunday to the Writers Guild Theater. You hop over to the Four Seasons at 8:45, pick up a hooker, go upstairs.
Right.
Make it home to the wife by midnight.
Well, what are you, in the Secret Service?
No, I just... That's good. That's good. We're topical.
Right. We are.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can have a good night here. Stand up for Main Street. I'm very excited about this. It's going to be a two-hour show. Now, how does the show go? What's the structure? Is it going to be all stand-up, or are you going to do a little talking?
Well,
have a speech plan?
No. No, there will be it'll be all stand-up. And I told the comics that, with the exception of probably in the middle, we'll have Rob Weissman, the president of Public Citizen, kind of brief people on what's been going on in Washington lately. That'll be the only that'll be the inspiring part. Mm. The rest will just be funny. And I told the comics, and you know, people like Ray and Eric Rivera, they're not particularly political,
right?
And
right.
I said, you and Wendy Liebman, just be funny.
Yeah.
And the messaging will be done, you know, other ways.
Yeah,
and
so
if you go to this show, it's not necessarily a show about political comedy. It's going to be a great show about just everything,
mm-hmm.
and with a little inspiration mixed in.
I'm going to ask the most important question our listeners want to know.
Yeah.
Will there be alcohol served?
Well, it's in a theater, so there will be no alcohol in the theater. No.
But you could sneak in a flask.
I'll bring in a flask, yeah.
I may look the other way.
And drink like I always do, surreptitiously.
Yeah. Bring a long straw. Keep it in your pants.
So, but you're saying though, if I bring one of those like fruity umbrellas and like a big glass,
you don't want to make a big show of it. No.
Bring an umbrella anyway. One of those, even if you're not going to drink.
You want to run a tube up your shirt and just like have a little sip thing in the side, but make it flesh colored.
You should get one of those things that attaches to your leg that you can pee in, you know, for the flight.
So
they
I have a tube hanging up here and down here.
Don't want to mix up those straws.
Like Capri Sun. And just kind of run it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
want to make sure they're connected correctly.
Don't cross the stream.
Don't cross the streams. Don't drink the wrong liquid, Survivor Man.
You know what? Casual dress? Is it business dress?
It's casual dress. That's the great thing about this event. You know, it's not, you know, no rubber chicken.
Yeah.
You don't have to get dressed up.
Yeah.
You're going to a comedy show. The cover charge is the admission, but then after that, you're in a theater. It's all focused. There's no waiters or waitresses coming around.
So I can wear
no
my
tipping.
Finest Tommy Bahama.
Your finest Tommy Bahama.
I'm going to.
Your whatever a Hawaiian shirt you have.
I am.
Wear your best X-Men shirt.
Oh, I have this Wolverine shirt. I don't want to wear that, though. What if I meet Ray? He'll think I'm a slob or something.
Ray's probably into it.
Ray'll be like, why you got so many holes in your shirt?
Oh yeah,
how poor are you?
Or what if Ray?
We say because I'm Wolverine. I've been in fights.
Yeah, I'm Wolverine.
he'll
be like, Marvel, I'm a DC man.
Should I wear my Quiznos? How high are you shirt?
No, don't wear that shirt.
So you're not looking to get laid meeting anybody at that.
I didn't know you could get laid at a Steve's Groven event.
I didn't know that was physically possible. I didn't know the public.
Listen, the very definition of a Steve's Groven event. is getting late. It's a rare event.
It's only once a year.
But I am synonymous
with
getting late.
Speaking of charity.
Yeah, speaking of charity.
That's right. There's only I don't want you competing with mine.
Yeah, okay.
Well, my charity event will be at 8:31 in the Four Seasons bar.
Yeah. Yeah. From 9:50 to 10:00.
Yeah.
So you're going to scrape up some money for the ticket and a little extra for the after party. Mm-hmm.
I forgot about the after party.
Yeah.
Caesar, are you going to the event with me? Well, yeah. You better scrape up $100. Well, the after party's on you, producer man.
But it's tax deductible.
It's tax deductible.
And of course, we all file for taxes.
You're on the air. Yeah.
No, not the hookers at the Four Seasons.
No.
Yeah.
I think
the hookers
the
and the
show.
Four Seasons are tax deductible too.
Well, I think that's what the Secret Service guys thought, you know.
Right.
That story's wild.
Yeah. I wanted to hear the conversation when he gave him the woman $60 instead of the $800, you know. I'm a government worker. We have a big deficit problem in this country and I'm trying to do my part.
Mm-hmm. For America.
I'm paying you according to the Ryan plan.
That had to have happened before this one incident, though. Every single presidency There has to be some Secret Service agent hooking up with some hooker poo-tang.
Well, probably, but they probably paid.
And they don't get
They
caught.
Didn't try to short...
They didn't Jerry Springer it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, they didn't... They
you're
didn't
an Ohio guy, aren't you?
I am. I'm from Cleveland, yeah.
So you're a Jerry Springer guy, right?
But Jerry Springer is from Cincinnati.
Okay, but...
Right. Which is...
You moved out here by the time Jerry was bouncing.
He wasn't
probably,
here when
yeah.
you were...
He was bouncing checks. You were already here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cincinnati is really both geographically and spiritually
yeah, well,
different.
Like the, yeah, yeah.
You know, Cincinnati is like the South. It's yeah. Kentucky. And
they have the accents and everything.
Yeah, and Cleveland is this northeastern former Rust
Can
Belt
I tell
town.
You, this is very rare to hear outside of people that lived in Cleveland, but
yeah.
I love Cleveland.
I love Cleveland, too.
Well,
it's my
duh.
Home.
Yeah,
yeah.
Duh, you love it. But
well, a lot
I'm
of people leave, they hate
Cleveland,
it.
I'm from Cleveland, and I love it.
What do you, why do you love Cleveland?
Can I tell you something? Okay, well, first of all, I used to vacation there all the time. All the time. I love the Jacobs Field, which is now Progressive
yeah.
Field.
Rock you don't hear that a lot. Cleveland, I used to vacation there a lot.
Yeah,
I know.
That was,
I know.
That was my little summer getaway.
My buddy and I were two fat white guys, and we wanted to go to school in Cleveland real bad.
You know what? I want to do that show, Two Fat White Guys.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
we,
my next sitcom pitch.
It's a cooking show, I believe.
I wish it was.
Yeah.
But we ended up at Kent State. But originally, we were trying to go to Cleveland State University.
Sure.
Until I went there, and it was like a Sanford and Son episode,
yeah.
and I realized I may not fit in.
Right, right, right.
I may not have fit in at that place.
Like, right.
I was walking around. We went to the cafeteria, and they were trying to sell me, what's that Polish dog with the...
Kielbasi.
No, but the what do you guys call it? You guys call it something. With the
well,
Polish...
What are you talking about, you
fries.
Guys?
Yeah.
You, know,
you
people.
You
people.
You people.
With the fries and the barbecue sauce on it. It's a big Cleveland thing.
The fries and the barbecue sauce?
Listen, Scroven, you're making this very difficult on me.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe this happened since I left.
Oh, I bet I'm going to...
It's
Polish
probably...
boy. They're called Polish boys. It happened since you left, maybe?
Maybe.
All
you
right.
mean it's
well,
the long version of po' boy?
It's a link of kielbasa, like
yeah.
you said. And then there's French fries on top of it. Jeez. A layer of hot sauce or barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, coleslaw.
Okay.
But that's the name of it, though.
That accounts for why you're so svelte.
Yeah.
yeah.
But is that the name of it, though, where you literally go up and you say, hey, can I get a Polish boy?
Yeah.
That sounds a little strange.
You know why
yeah.
I like having women on this show?
Uh-huh.
They try to politely tell me that I'm looking good, losing weight, trim.
Men, male guests don't pull any punches.
Steve Scroven just comes on and goes, yeah, that's why you look so svelte.
Yeah.
Yeah. Batty.
No, I did not say that.
He didn't
no,
say
no,
that.
I went
no,
the other
no.
way.
Yeah, he sure
this
did.
Is radio. People may think, take me literally.
Right, right.
Very, very, you know,
they can't,
sick people.
They can't see your eyebrows.
I can't yeah. see his eyebrows.
what else do I want to talk about? I got so many things I can talk to you about.
Go
okay.
ahead, man. I'd like to talk.
Well, tell me about this... Before Everybody Loves Raymond, you said you came
yeah.
out here... Late 70s, early 80s?
No, I came out here late 80s.
Late 80s?
I was in New York for the 80s.
Oh, okay. So when did you start stand-up? Or
I started stand-up in 1980.
Wow, okay.
Out of college. And that was in Cleveland. And then I was about 6 months in Cleveland, decided, oh, maybe this is what I want to do, and moved to New York. And because that's where my girlfriend, who's now my wife.
Who'd you know from the scene in New York?
I knew everybody. I knew,
so,
yeah, you know.
Your girlfriend lived in New York?
She was going to be going to graduate school in New York, so I moved in with her and started going to the comic strip and the improv and Catch a Rising Star and hanging out late at night and paying the dues and meeting, you know, all these comics.
Yeah.
Many of whom are now out here, most of whom are now out here.
So who are some of your friends that were doing this? At the same place you were at the same time out in New York that made it.
Everybody was auditioning
always,
for Alan King and things like that.
Right. I always find that there's always a group of people that you could put together that made it from the same time period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, Ray.
Yeah.
Ray's.
So you knew Ray from the stand-up.
I knew Ray from stand-up times, yeah. Boy, I didn't hang out with him, but I saw Eddie Murphy before he was
oh,
famous.
Oh, wow.
And
was he as good as he ended up being with stand up? Like was he
yeah,
as good
well,
as
you know,
first?
He was young. He was 19 years old.
Yeah.
So a lot of his material was kind of warmed over Dick Gregory
Group
or Richard
joke.
Pryor. But he had supreme confidence, and he was obviously an incredibly talented character actor.
Yeah.
And could do voices and just exuded confidence on stage, which was 90% of the battle there.
Yeah.
Paul Reiser was around. I was around when he got the movie Diner, which kicked off his career. And I remember him coming into the comic strip later and saying, yeah, I went on this thing and this audition, and this guy said, why don't, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be the main auditioner. And Barry Levinson came out and said, why don't you come in? And then, you know, it was around that, you know, and people like Rick Overton and John Mendoza and I'm trying to think who's, you know, Alan Havey is a good friend of mine. My friend Scott Carter, who is the Real Time with Bill Maher producer.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
I love Real Time.
He was out there, yeah. Michael Patrick King, who's, you know,
Sex in the City
and Two Broke Girls. Yeah. You know, we were good friends.
He did stand-up?
He did stand-up. He was actually in an improv group.
Wow, this is breaking some ground for me.
He was in an improv group called the Broadway Local with Dom Herrera.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I actually studied with them when I first got to town. That's how I kind of got to know them. I took a class from them. And the Broadway Local was a group of five actors, including Dom and Michael. And they ended up breaking up because it was just too hard to make a living for five people. And Dom was starting to go on the road. And so Mike and Lisa Mende, who was in the group, who was Dom's wife at the time, they became an improv duo. And they started doing the clubs, the improv mainly. And then eventually Mike just broke off on his own as a single act. And when I got a job hosting a talk show on MTV in 1988, I asked Michael and Scott Carter, along with Mike Rowe, I don't know if you know Mike, who just won an Emmy for Futurama.
Yeah, right.
I asked them to be my writers. And they were my writers on this talk show. And after that, Michael came to L.A. and got on Murphy Brown, and it was just a rocket ship ride for him since then.
Yeah, I just thought Sex in the City, I did not do any of my research on that show. I just figured some gay dude that knew broads real well. I really did. I swear. I didn't know. I didn't know. And now I know. He was a comedian.
Well, it was created by Darren Star.
Right.
And Michael, you know, took it over soon afterwards and really put his own stamp on it and then did the movies himself. So
yeah, I noticed he did the movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did all that. Now, at what point did you make it out here and did you get your first big break, you think?
Well, I got hired to do this talk show on MTV.
Yeah.
In New York.
You were doing MTV.
Yeah, it was before. The only other original programming they had was a show called Remote Control with my friend Kenny Ober and Colin Quinn.
I remember.
Name a couple other people that I knew. And they were still showing videos mainly. So they wanted to do a talk show, and they wanted to have call-ins, kind of live show with call-ins with it. And they needed somebody who would work cheap. And so they got this unknown comedian, me, to host the show. And it was some of the most fun I've had in show business.
You loved working on MTV?
Yeah.
Well, I loved working in New York and with my friends. And then it was Monday through Thursday when it was live. And then Friday and Saturday, I would do the clubs.
Wow.
So it was
so
just...
you had to do everything you wanted.
It's a good life.
Everything, yeah. And, you know,
you're working with Ken and Colin.
Do you get invited back to like all that MTV, like when they did the 30 years this year?
No.
Because
we only lasted 6 weeks. But I got to do about 100 interviews in those 6 weeks, and it was pretty eclectic guest list. There was Cher was my first guest, Kenny Loggins, Tom Jones,
Ron Zimmerman,
Peter
Max.
yeah, really.
Ronnie.
Well,
Zimmerman,
Ron Zimmerman was another guy I knew from back then.
We're naming all the Zimmermans today.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you're a Zimmerman, you're getting mentioned.
Roy, Ron,
George,
and George.
Bob.
George.
Bob
Zimmerman.
Dylan's original name.
We should play which Zimmerman.
Yeah.
And see how many people guess that Cher went out with George Zimmerman.
Right.
Right.
So you got there. Cher was like your first guest.
Yeah, on the first show, it was Halloween night.
My first guest was Ozzie Guillen's son.
Ozzie Guillen's son?
Yeah, a little, here's me, here's you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Cher, Oney Guillen. That's pretty good, man.
But I had a great time, and it was at that time, I think it was just too big a commitment for MTV. The ratings actually apparently weren't that bad.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of overhead because we had to have a lot of staff and it was live and all of that. But
do you miss being on air, like on screen?
Not particularly.
No,
you don't miss performing?
I miss performing, but I don't miss being on screen and looking at myself and going, oh my God, you know.
I can't wait for
do
it.
Something about that hair. yeah, just.
I love when he looks at me and says that, by the way,
I
too.
I don't have... No, you have lovely, lovely flowing hair all over your body.
Yeah.
It is everywhere. yeah, I can't wait to see myself on screen and just... I may mute the TV.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not... I found out... Well, for me, my joke is, you know, it took me 15 years to figure out I didn't photograph well.
No, you don't know it for a while.
See, the good news is I figured that out already. I just don't care.
You don't care. Well,
I gotta not care.
You have to have that. I'm too vain to actually be expose myself on.
You don't need people walking down the street going, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. And the fact that we're on the Sunset Strip is kind of significant because I was never one of those people. In fact, I had a little throwaway joke in my act back in New York because I would take the subway to all the different clubs.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been in the New York subway, they always have the latest movie posters in the subway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
And I would see all these movie posters and they would change. And so my joke was, it was my dream to one day get my picture on a poster in the New York City subway system. But then I would just be worried that somebody would draw a dick on my face.
Or urinate on it.
Yeah, well, that's how I thought. Oh, I get my picture up there, but you know
happen.
What? Somebody is going to take a magic marker, and God forbid, in the picture, my mouth is like half open. They're going to draw a dick right there, and it's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to hate that. And when I came to L.A., it was the same thing. When I come down the Sunset Strip, you see those big posters of actors. And I remember seeing like Tom Selleck in a baseball uniform, you know, it was 20 years ago probably.
Mr. Baseball, yeah.
And you look at the poster, if you look close, it's really kind of a distorted, kind of weird depiction of a human being on those big billboards.
Yeah.
And I said, ooh, that's, instead of going, oh, one day that's going to be me, I thought, ooh, that's kind of
creepy.
Gross.
Yeah.
Right.
So I never had that, I realized. You know, I never had that need to, like, be out there in the public and have everybody see me and draw penises all over my face.
But you're a very good writer. So
well, thank you.
So now you do that. And,
yeah. But I came out to answer your earlier question from that MTV show.
Yeah.
I got – what brought me out here was I got a show called Totally Hidden Video on the then-fledgling Fox Network, which was a hidden camera show. The first update of Candid Camera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know.
That then later
that
became, you know, there was other shows came along, Punked and the Jamie Kennedy
Experiment.
Did you
like Totally Hidden Video?
It was fun for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, just for me, it just lasted a year. The show lasted a couple more years after that.
So you were the host?
I was the host,
for
the original
one
host.
Year and you. Is there a lot to do with that? It's not like Saget with America's Funniest Home Videos, is it? Or. What was it like?
It was actually a little bit more to do because there was another guy I knew was Saget because when I first started in Cleveland, he was like a big headliner and I met him when I first started out. And it was funny because I was doing Totally Hidden Video, which was a hidden camera show. And then about halfway through our season, America's Funniest Home Videos came on and people would get us confused because of the word video and... We do have certain same coloring, similar coloring, although he's tall. He's like 6'3",
yeah,
5'11".
He's a tall glass of lemonade.
And, and he's very funny, but in that show, he's just reading off the teleprompter.
Yeah.
My show was a lot of reading off the teleprompter, but then sometimes I got to be in the bits. So there was a little bit of that improvisational acting part of it, which was my favorite part. But The actually doing the wraparounds was not the most interesting part.
I got good news for our peeps. Mike Royce can be here tomorrow. He will also be promoting
Stand Up for Main Street.
Public Citizen Stand Up for Main Street.
Excellent.
He's going to be here at 4. We're going to be on at 4:00. And I got to email him back and say it's cool in the gang. But yes, so Mike Royce will join us tomorrow.
Very good. So, Lee, you take over while he's typing.
Okay.
What else do you want to know about me?
How did you originally come to know that you wanted to be doing comedy or being an entertainer? How did you get started before that?
Well, I did not know. Only in retrospect did it make sense.
Were you a class clown type?
No, I was kind of always. I was more of a wise guy.
Uh-huh.
That kind of. I wasn't the typical profile of a comedian who was the guy who was not good at sports and always got picked last.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't like that. I wasn't a class clown. I was just more of a little asshole.
A little asshole.
So I, you know.
You know what? I think I would prefer the class clown title.
Okay.
Than the little asshole.
I'll take that one.
The smart aleck, the Weisenheimer. And so a lot of the things, because this club opened up in Cleveland after I'd graduated from college and I was kind of cooling my heels at my parents' house, not knowing what I wanted to do. When I graduated, I knew I didn't want to go to graduate school, didn't want to get a job. And so what was there to do? Mm-hmm. I thought, had some ideas that I would be a writer of some sort, like a... writing short stories for the New Yorker, like
yeah.
Woody Allen or something.
Oh, yeah.
But then you're a 22-year-old kid who's got no life experience to write about.
Mm-hmm.
And then this club opened up in Cleveland, which is now, you mentioned Jacobs Field, it's where this club is now like second base at Progressive Field.
Really?
Yeah, they've built a stadium on top of where this place used to be.
Was the Italian joint still across the street?
There was, you mean the Central Market?
No, I'm trying to remember what it's called. There's some Italian restaurant right next to Progressive.
It was all I
that
remember.
That whole area
all
may be new.
It may be new because it was very desolate when I was there. This was a Greek restaurant with a Cleveland comedy.
The Gundarena wasn't there at the time.
No, none of that. There was like an old farmer's market that was kind of abandoned.
Yeah.
And it was just this desolate area on the edge of the flats in Cleveland near the steel mills. And
the flats are awesome.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that's been built up in the time since I've left. Not because I left.
No, right, they're like, Scroven's gone.
Yeah, now we can
build the flat.
Let's have fun.
Yeah.
So I started going on stage there, and I realized I started putting a lot of energy into it and thought, oh, maybe this is what I want to do. So it was only in retrospect when I look back at things in my life throughout my childhood that I really remembered, was it about getting up in front of people and either being funny or singing or doing something like that. So growing up where I grew up, which was actually a small town outside of Cleveland, I had no idea where these comedians came from. I would see Freddie Prinze on The Tonight Show, and you'd think he just popped fully formed out of Johnny Carson's head.
I remember when I was a kid, I just thought anyone that was on TV, that's like some magical other world that you could never be a part of. They didn't come from Chicago in my mind. Like, they were already out here or doing it. It was weird. As a kid, you just don't think I could be that guy. You don't know how.
And one of my first exposures to it was when I was at school, and they hired this social committee hired Joe Piscopo and Rick Overton to be stand-ups. So these guys about my age, maybe a little bit older, were doing this and realized, oh, you could actually have a career doing this and make a little bit of a living. And my timing was great. By accident of birth, it was really at the embryonic stages of what became known as the boom, the comedy boom of the 80s.
Started in the 80s, ended 89,
Yeah, pretty much my span in New York was 80 to 89.
Yeah.
So I guess when I left, everybody said, it's over.
There you go.
What did you do in the 90s before Ray? What were some of the odd jobs? Were you writing for shows?
Yeah, I was doing Totally Hidden Video, after I got no ceremoniously relieved from that duty.
No ceremony.
No. They didn't call me at all.
They may have had one after you were relieved.
Yes.
You just don't know.
I believe so.
There could have been a ceremony.
Yeah, and I think it had to do with a voodoo doll.
Right.
But, because I remember some sharp pains in my side. But after that, I kind of kicked around, was doing some commercial auditions and theater, and I got another hosting job called That's My Dog.
And I
had to go to Florida, and this is basically a game show for dogs. And it was a show that was brought over from England, and it was on what was then called the Family Channel, which was Pat Robertson's. It's now ABC Family, yeah. But that time was owned by Pat Robertson out of Virginia Beach.
They used to run all those. What's that club? The 700 club all the time. Oh
yeah.
My God!
But this was this kind of benign dog show, but it was a lot of fun because as a host. They never knew how long it was going to take the dogs to do anything.
So you just keep talking.
I had free reign to babble and talk as much as I. I had more freedom on that show than any other show.
That's my dream job.
Well, because
that's what I was born for.
Dog show,
right?
Invariably, 2/3 through the show, the producer would be giving me the stretch signal, and so I would just say anything that came into my head, and I subversively got some. Some things in that just went right by the Christian censors. I remember the dogs at the end of their little obstacle course. We had a "That's my dog" sign, and they would jump through the O of the sign as the final thing. And so when I explained it, I said, "Okay, and when the dog achieves the big O, blah 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 blah, blah, blah." Boom, right over the head. And we had a little a talent show where three people from the audience would hold up cards with numbers.
Yeah.
And one time it came up 666, and of course I made my 666 jokes, and it aired because they
all
needed the footage.
All your Iron Maiden references passed.
Right.
Yes, that's right.
Rating of the Beast.
If you ever listened to Iron Maiden.
If I ever knew what Iron Maiden was.
You don't know what Iron Maiden is?
I do,
Of course you know what they are.
Yes.
But you don't know Bruce Davidson? You're not?
No,
Okay, so
you should have worn your other T-shirt.
My Iron Maiden shirt?
Yeah.
What music does a Steve Scroven listen to? I'm interested now.
Steve Scroven listens to, and boy, do I love talking about myself in the third person.
It's funny.
Or even worse, Steve Scroven listens to. Well, it's funny because I grew up in Cleveland, which is the rock and roll capital, but I was most influenced by an AM radio station out of Windsor, Canada, which is a suburb of Detroit.
Okay.
It's called CKLW. And it was a 50,000-watt clear channel system, so it came over the lake, and it was Motown. So growing up as a little kid in the 60s and early 70s,
I love Motown.
I was a Motown person. So I still have that sort of pop R&B sensibility. Stevie Wonder was God to me.
Do you go to any concerts still? Like, what's the last concert you went to?
Last concert
I went to... See, it's just that Tucker Cawley, for instance, is like... really cool into me. He listens to stuff I don't even listen to.
Yeah.
Like, he's too cool for even me.
Yes, Tucker is very cool.
I'm more with you. I'm the Stevie Wonders,
he knows all the, like, Wilco.
Wilco,
he knows all these.
And Radiohead. And
He's
going to concerts where it's raining out.
And Tucker is a white boy from Virginia, too.
Yeah. So what's the last concert you went to?
I think the last concert I went to was Paul McCartney. And I think a bunch of us from Raymond went.
Oh, wow.
And it was at Staples Center.
This was a while ago.
This was a while ago because I'm older gentleman now. It's very loud. It's very loud. But I saw Springsteen in 1980 on that tour.
Are you seeing him this weekend?
I'm not seeing him this weekend, no. It's very loud.
Yeah. Steve Scroven's too good for Springsteen.
No,
he said
it's too loud.
No.
It's too loud for Steve.
It's too loud.
I went to actually, you know what? It may have been. I took my wife to a John Mayer concert, so that may have been the latest thing. We were in New York. It was a Christmas present for her, and it was
good for her.
And it was in. Here's the thing. It was in. This is later than the Paul McCartney one because it was in New York at a place that used to be called the Ritz.
Okay.
And it was now called Webster Hall or something. And I had seen Todd Rundgren.
I love Todd Rundgren.
Who's another favorite of mine, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren, Daryl Hall, John Oates.
That's
his.
Oh. Oh,
Lee makes fun of me all the time.
Do you do live at... I'm hooked.
What's wrong with my...
I don't know.
Just the headphones.
I'm hooked on live at Daryl's house.
I am. I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
He hates that I watch it.
I...
Caesar, you throw your hands up in your air.
That was you. That was your gesticulation about... about liking Rundgren slash Hall slash...
My arm has been up here the whole time.
Okay.
Lazily resting.
I know what I saw.
I watch live from Daryl's house all the time. Did you see the CeeLo
Green? The CeeLo
Green
episode.
CeeLo Green episode was great. I mean, he brings...
Todd Rundgren did 2 episodes. Smokey Robinson, new artists come on there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So, yeah, the new artists I get to know, and they're usually funky. There's this guy, Hutchinson. Eric Hutchinson.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
The
one.
Whole album was just great.
Yep.
And you know, my daughter tries to hip me to hip hop stuff.
Does
and...
she not think Daryl Hall's hip?
She's not a Daryl Hall person. As far as I, you know, what I have
Whatever.
Not tried. I really don't try to expose her to that. You know.
Yeah.
I try not to expose my daughter to anything.
To the cool things.
Yeah.
Like Daryl Hall.
But yeah, so that's kind of my music. And so I took her to this John Mayer concert, but now, you know, I'm at this time, I'm
John
in my late...
Mayer?
Do I like John Mayer?
Or did you take your wife to get laid? Be honest.
No, I actually don't mind John Mayer. Yeah, I like his voice.
All right, I believe you.
And my wife did, and so I thought this would be... But then, you know, we're like in our late 40s,
yeah.
Maybe even early 50s at this point, and we go to this place, and I forget, when I saw Todd Rundgren there... There was no seating.
Yeah.
It's you're just standing.
Standing for 2 hours.
And we were standing shoulder cheek by jowl with all of these people.
Sweating.
And I had a bad hip at that time. It was before my hip replacement. This is how
old you had
I
a
am.
Hip replacement?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a whole other story. But and so it's hard for me to stand for a long period of time. And what I forgot about concerts, especially for young people, is the main act. They don't show up on time.
No.
There was an hour and a half.
They got Damian Marley for a half an
they
hour.
They have
before
all these other people, but even then, there's a 45-minute wait after that. So we're standing there for 2 hours. By the time John Mayer got on stage, we stayed for about a half hour and then left because we'd already been there 3 hours.
Brutal.
It was brutal.
Brutal. I couldn't
walk down the stairs. I was like the Tin Man walking down the stairs.
I went to a Modest Mouse concert, and I like that.
I've heard that name through my daughter.
I'm into the Tucker Cawley music, okay? I'm into it, but I won't go to the concert.
Yeah. Because
they all play, I like Wilco, but they all play at small joints where you're standing for 2.5 hours. I'm fat, I sweat.
Yeah.
I smell people. I have a very...
I called you svelte.
I know. Even though I smoke, I have a very acute sense of smell, so I smell everyone's BO or their breath or their... I can't do it. I went to this concert, and I stood outside for an hour smoking cigarettes waiting for my girlfriend to finish
the
concert. I couldn't do it. I hated it.
Yeah.
You got to not mind that, the dude.
Right.
Is that your sex life, too? Standing outside the room, smoking a cigarette, waiting for your girlfriend to finish?
Yeah, waiting for... Well, when I got out of the room, I let you back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
Honey, are you done yet? Can I come in? It's cold out here.
That's the only way they enjoy themselves. is if they do it by themselves. Once again, though, Stand Up for Main Street, citizen.org. You can go to citizen.org. You can order your tickets here in Los Angeles, technically Beverly Hills, I guess.
The Beverly Hills, it's a Writers Guild Theater is in Beverly Hills.
Okay, so Writers Guild Theater, which is Sunday, April 29th, that's this Sunday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And who's going to be on the show, Aaron?
I'm going to go with, it is going to be Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
Mark
is on
Maron.
The show.
Mark Rick Maron. Overton. Megan Murphy.
Dana Gould.
Morgan Murphy.
Morgan Murphy.
Dana Gould. Wendy Liebman.
Am I making up names now?
Eric. That may be somebody.
Dana Carvey.
I'm not looking at my sheet.
Not
Elliot
Dana
Gould.
Carvey.
Not Dana Carvey. You
not
can't
Elliot
have people
Gould.
Showing up. They're going to be like, where's Carvey?
It's Dana Gould. Mark Maron, Ray Romano,
Wendy
Liebman.
There's people that are going to be showing up already going, where's Dana Carvey? And now you're just going to make it worse.
Yes, get your tickets now at citizen.org because they're going to be going fast.
They are going fast. How many you think are gone so far? A bunch.
Oh, well over half. So we you got to make your move
now,
people.
Come up with that $100 quick, Marconi. I don't got all day. The Matthew Aaron Show does not have time to wait. To go to Stand Up for Main Street. We don't got that kind of time.
No.
People are buying tickets left and right. Oh, yeah, I'm blowing off Springsteen to go.
And you can sit down at this venue. You don't have to be outside for an hour
I've
smoking.
I've seen Springsteen
right.
20 times.
20 times.
I've only seen Steve Scroven once, so I'm going for twice. I'm going to I'm going to go this Sunday so you can start catching up to Springsteen.
Okay.
I'm going to go to every Steve Scroven concert the rest of my life.
That's going to be a long hill to climb. Yeah.
It's a long hill to climb.
I don't have quite the touring schedule that he has.
No, he doesn't.
But it's kind of cool. You're doing this like 10 months after the first one.
Yeah, because it went so well.
Are you thinking of doing this like twice a year maybe?
No.
I
can't do it twice a year. Yeah. Well, you know, we'll try to make it an annual event.
Yeah, it's crazy because once you guys all get families and stuff, and you're so busy, you don't have time for
these things. Are
well, my family is almost out of the house.
Almost.
So I'm entering another phase, but I've got all this. You know, I've got a career to keep
up
too.
To think in like 10 years, you could be like Grandpa Steve.
10 years.
Does that drive you nuts?
I could be next week.
Yeah. Well. All right, let's.
I would be a very
fingers,
hot grandpa.
Cross these that doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, and if it does, people are going to have to die.
Yeah, some people, yeah.
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 I want to see a Steve Scroven action movie. The guy with the replaced hip.
Yeah.
Walking.
It's a bionic
I'm
hip.
I'm sorry, I see that action movie with Stallone and Schwarzenegger all the time.
Yeah. Right. They don't.
Well, listen, I'm still playing baseball. I'm playing basketball.
Great.
I'm.
Good.
I'm
back. Baseball. Yeah. I didn't play this year, and I just moved out here, but I play it.
Yeah.
And
actually, a fast pitch softball, I should say, not baseball.
I should tell you, true story, I'm pretty good at the softball and the baseball, even for a fat guy. I'm agile.
Really?
I am an
you're
agile.
You're like a little one of those twinkle toes guys.
Yeah, I go fast. I can I can run.
You play football at all? Would you have been like a middle guard with a lot of moves?
I did play football.
Yeah?
I did play football.
The guard?
I played defensive line.
Who could pull a defensive line? Yeah.
I played line. Yeah, for a while, and then I kind of didn't grow.
one of my hosts on this list, Kevin Zinger,
yeah,
was an All-American at Yale. He was
a little better than me.
He was a middle guard, and he is not that much taller than you are.
Really?
He was undersized, but he was both ferocious and highly skilled.
Well, I'm glad I just couldn't cut the mustard then. For all these years, I was blaming it on my size, and now Steve Scroven is.
He's a little bigger than you.
Not accomplished enough. You know, Scroven, whenever I need an uplift, I'm just going to bring you on this show.
Okay,
whenever
yeah.
I need to feel better about myself.
Jump in here.
Yeah, I don't know. We could make a motivational speaker out of you yet, I think.
Now, okay. It's
like Andrew W.K.
$100 for a ticket. Is there a way to donate if you're not going to the show?
Yeah, well, you go to citizen.org, and if you go to the page, there's a donation button and a
sponsor.
Ticket button. Yeah,
there's a sponsor button, and the sponsor button really means donate, so people know, right?
Right.
Same thing.
Right, so we won't put aside a ticket for you.
Right,
but
I don't want people to get confused thinking they're going to sponsor the show.
But it's for your own good, because this organization does all that stuff that you don't want to do.
I think this is great.
Yeah.
I really do. I love the cause.
It's nonpartisan.
Yes.
We watchdog both government and corporate power.
Doesn't nonpartisan groups like this, though, just mean you hate both parties?
Well, both parties are very frustrating.
Yeah,
there's
plenty to hate.
One is actually probably more frustrating than the other because you expect more from them. You
right.
can guess which one that is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And
well, my second guess was it means you just hate the Democrat Party a little less than the other one.
Well, I'm saying it can be the opposite because if you feel like, you know, they should be doing, they know better.
That's true.
Right.
The other one you can write off, you know, if they're corporate shills.
That's
true.
And at least they're consistent, but, you know, it's the other side. So we're trying to keep them both honest.
Have you guys ever had Republicans donate to this cause, a public citizen?
Oh, I'm sure.
That
I'm sure.
You know of, though? None that you know
oh,
of?
Oh, sure. But... I'm sure of. And especially in Ralph's time
yeah.
in the 70s, there were a lot of Republicans, because Republicans were kind of different then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They didn't like corporate welfare. They didn't like all of that kind
right.
of, you know, subsidy kind of stuff. Ideologically, they're opposed to that. So he had, you know, he worked both sides of the aisle.
When did you start getting involved with this, by the way? Was this before you did the documentary with Nader?
No, it was a direct result of the documentary.
It was.
Yeah.
So tell me about that experience that got you this motivated.
Well, the experience of doing the documentary really changed my life. And
talk about it.
Yeah, well, it started as a sitcom idea. My friend Henriette Mantel was also a comedian.
Okay.
She used to work for Ralph in the late 70s, early 80s. And we'd be hanging out at Catch a Rising Star in the bar.
Is she one of the Crusaders?
Is one of the
Crusaders. The Hot Crusaders? The Nader's Crusaders?
Nader's Raiders, you mean?
Nader's Raiders.
Well, as much as an office manager can be, yeah. Oh. And, yeah, I guess they could all be called Nader's Raiders at the time. But she would tell me stories about working for Ralph, and I was aware of Ralph but didn't really know that much about him. I'd voted for Al Gore in the 2000 election, and so really wasn't on my radar screen. But I told her back in the 80s, I said, well, that would be good setting for a show, a public interest office where any kind of crazy person can walk in. 15 years later, I'm in the middle of my run on Everybody Loves Raymond, and I get a development deal, and I've got to come up with an idea for a show. And I happen to run into Henriette 2 weeks later after that and said, hey, have you ever done anything with your Ralph experience? We started talking. She started telling me stories, introducing me to people that she knew from that time. I was just kind of collecting stories and also at the same time reading about Ralph just as research. And I came up with an outline for a pilot and still needed to do more research. So Henriette and I went during one of the Rayman hiatuses to Washington. This is, I guess, back in 2003 by now. And I kind of met more of the people, absorbed the atmosphere in D.C., what the office looked like. But the more I read about Ralph, the more I was kind of amazed at all he had accomplished and intrigued by the fact that everybody was so pissed off at him.
Yeah.
And nobody had told this story. And I realized how influential this guy was, and now he's a pariah. So how do you go from folk hero to pariah? That seemed like a very interesting arc. And it's a story that I had access to through Henriette because she had worked for Ralph. They still had a relationship. And once you work for Ralph, you always work for Ralph. So once she said I was okay, then we could do the movie. And then I just started interviewing people on camera, learning the story, getting deep into these issues, ended up doing the movie, went to Sundance, got bought by IFC, had appeared on Independent Les on PBS, made the Oscar shortlist in the documentary category for that year for 2006 or 7, and had a nationwide theatrical release.
Yeah.
But the whole story is not just about Ralph. It's about all these people he Johnny Appleseeded.
Yeah.
And I came away very impressed with all of these people who nobody knows, who are under the radar, who are literally saving lives. And they're doing it in ways that are not dramatic and are the ways that it's about managing the levers of power and doing campaigns in to pass legislation and all that stuff that makes your eyes glaze over but has to be done because certainly the other side is doing it. And when I say the other side, I mean the big business community, the Chamber of Commerce and certain politicos. So I got to know Joan Claybrook, who was the president of Public Citizen at the time. She had succeeded Ralph and had been for 27 years. And Sid Wolf, who was also one of the founders along with Joan and Ralph, who ran the health research group. He's the reason we know about toxic shock syndrome or red dye number 2, mm-hmm. all of these things that had been taken off the market because of the efforts of the health research group, Sid Wolf and Public Citizen, all the people who worked for him. And I got to know them through doing the interview, and they came to me after the movie came out and said, would you like to be on the board? And I think they thought I would be a big Hollywood connection.
Yeah.
And they were kind of mistaken.
Were they disappointed?
But they were looking to kind of bring some fresh blood onto the board. And I'd never been part of an organization before. And here I am in this room full of all these lawyers and journalists. And I, like I said before, I was kind of like the comic relief. And I thought, well, what can I do to actually take an active role in supporting this group? And I thought, well, I can help raise money by doing a comedy show, doing what I know best. And that's how that all came about, and that's how Stand Up for Main Street came about. And we're trying to now increase our presence out here in Los Angeles because we can't take corporate money.
Right.
Yeah.
We can only take from individuals. Uh-huh. And Los Angeles, whether you like it or not, is just a huge artist community, and we can, and sources of funding for a place. People understand the issues out here because L.A., Hollywood, California is a progressive kind of place, and so I took it upon myself to kind of increase our the awareness and our footprint out here, and by doing it by a series of stand-up shows.
I think it's great that you're doing this. I think that's great.
Thank you.
This was like your life-changing moment for you in a way. This was
doing the movie really sort of opened my eyes to really how things work in the country, and I started doing a lot of other ancillary kind of reading around Ralph, Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky, mm-hmm. and a lot of great progressives, and getting a view of the world that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
And it's that's how it really kind of changed my outlook.
Yeah. No, I was going to ask you then, is there, this isn't affiliated to any political group.
No.
But obviously, there are quite a few Green Party members.
Well, I don't know if they're Green Party members, but people who tend to be progressive.
Progressive-minded.
Yeah, progressive-minded people.
Yeah.
Because we're fighting the powers that be.
The man.
So when you guys have events, or when you guys get together and talk, though, what, as a community, do you guys surmise are the biggest problems with what's going on today? What needs to be worked on the most?
Well, the biggest problem, I think, is money in politics.
Yes. Yeah.
And we do a lot of work on that, especially aimed at this terrible Supreme Court decision called Citizens United.
Yeah. Yes.
And some people, sometimes I found, since I've been talking about Public Citizen a lot, they actually confuse Public Citizen with Citizens United.
I was going to say.
Public Citizen is the good guy. Citizens United, the bad guy.
Bad guy.
That's the best way I know how to describe it. And everything kind of flows out of that. So once you have, it puts too much power in too few hands.
Right.
And it makes politicians have to spend all their time fundraising. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know what a politician stands for, really, find out who owns them. Find out who gave them the most money.
Right.
Because that's who they're going to have to answer to. Mm-hmm. So somehow getting some sort of handle on this, where you have publicly funded elections, where we can overturn this Citizens United by having a constitutional amendment, and also do a lot of things in between, like disclosure rules and stockholder rights issues, can help mitigate it. But you really have to kind of overturn it. And it's a difficult campaign, but that's the kind of campaign that Public Citizen knows how to lead.
Do you guys take some solace in knowing when, for instance, Newt Gingrich had guys behind him with Freeze and all those guys, and they're giving
Sheldon Adelson from Gingrich,
they're giving him $50, $60, $70, $100 million, and he still can't compete. There's some solace in that, and I think their argument would then be Citizens United isn't like changing anything. Do you hear that argument? Do you hear that argument that the money isn't going to buy a politician? Office?
That's a night. Maybe the presidency may be a little tougher for one person to fund.
Right.
That.
But like aldermen.
Where it really makes a difference is in congressional races,
right,
which don't take as much money and can be dominated very easily by a few people.
They don't get as much press. And those guys have such a high rate of re-election. It's just something that goes over.
No, right.
When you have the Supreme Court, who are, the five members that are just, open about their agenda. What is it? Kennedy, Scalia, Roberts, Thomas, and Alito. Who so openly push. It's just a real, real struggle.
No, I agree. It's just the flip coin of it is, the other side of it is, people argue that it hasn't had any effect. I've heard the argument. I don't agree with it, obviously, but that is the argument they make, is that people haven't been winning elections because of money. And here's their proof.
Except for the fact, for every election, the person who raises the most money has won.
Yeah, so there you go.
There's a pretty good correlation.
That's what they want you to believe, man.
Right.
The man.
Yeah, the man. Yeah. Here's what I do want to tell you.
Yeah,
I don't want to get all doom and gloom on here. I feel bad enough every week where I watch Bill Maher. That was supposed to be a comedy show, Bill Maher. Now it's just getting aggravating for me. I love it. I love Bill. I love the show. I just watch it now, though, and yell at the TV.
Yeah.
I get really mad. I don't know. I can't watch politics on TV so much anymore. I just get really angry.
Had you had you contacted Bill Maher for this Public United? I think
Public Citizen.
See, damn it! Hey. Oh.
You know why?
You took the word citizen out of it completely. It just went Public United.
I got the public part, though.
Steve, you just outed him. He's working undercover for Citizens United.
Right.
Yeah, or a new group called Public United.
Public United.
Public United.
A third group.
Yeah, a splinter
group.
Money
doesn't buy elections, people, and aspartame is safe.
Except the problem is Public United's charity event, the headliners leak a praise.
Yeah, right.
They're not raising as much money.
Not as much, no.
To answer your question, no, we haven't reached out to Bill at some point, but maybe you know, at some point we will.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Bill's good. He's good. He's funny.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh.
Well, you know what? You asked me about who I knew back then
Bill's
in the 80s in New York. He was one of the guys who was around then, too. I didn't know him well, but he was there.
Was Apatow there back then? Or was
no,
he
Apatow was
out
a
here?
Little younger, yeah.
And
he was
a little younger.
I don't know if he was in New York.
I think he was for a short time.
May have been,
and then he moved out here to go
I've met Judd. He's a real nice guy, but I didn't know him as a stand-up.
And then you said you knew... one of the first people you saw when he came out here was Mike Binder, who owns this lovely restaurant.
Yeah, Mike.
Tony Dog.
Yeah, Mike was one of the first guys I saw at the Cleveland Comedy Club before I was a comedian, when I was just going as a customer. And here he was, this 20-year-old guy. I was 23, so he's actually younger than I am. And it was one of those things where I said, wow, you know, this looks like fun.
Yeah.
Dave Coulier is another guy out of Detroit.
Love Dave.
Who
Dave's been on
was
the
at
show.
The, yeah.
Big fan.
And he was another guy, you know, who just was a fantastic act and, you know, did great cartoon voices and was very popular. And I actually ended up working with him for like 3 years in a row in different places where I was opening for him, like in Cleveland and then I think in Atlanta and probably somewhere else. And, you know, another real nice guy along with
Saget.
Were
you like a big act when people went to Cleveland? Like, did they want you to open for them because of your roots there?
No, I mean, as I said, I only spent like 6 weeks.
No, but I mean, even when you were out here and then someone's doing a show in Cleveland, would they get people from Cleveland to open for them, or would they be
Steve,
come open?
No.
No?
By that time,
you weren't the LeBron James of comedy in Cleveland?
No.
No? Oh.
No, not at all.
All right, well, I was just checking.
But speaking of other people that I knew back then, Drew Carey.
Oh, I love Drew.
One. Drew and I kind of started at the same time in Cleveland.
Him and Sam Simon are like best friends now.
Are they really? Yeah.
Drew's as Cleveland as it gets.
Yeah, yeah, but Drew started. We started about the same time, and you know, I kind of lost contact with him. But great guy.
So he's doing that little show now. That Price is Right.
Yeah, and he's slimmed down.
He's working for he's working for the corporations on the Price is Right. We're done with that Drew Carey. Uh-huh.
Yeah, Drew might not want to do stand up for mainstream.
Yeah, he's in tight with the Broyhill Furniture Company.
I think we may have even asked Drew, and I think he was either
Drew's
busy
cool.
or turned us down.
Or Drew realized what. Hypocrisy it would probably be for him to do the show.
Maybe. I don't know.
Considering they do commercials literally on the show.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with any of that.
Good for Drew.
It's just when you use it, you know, for evil.
For evil, right.
Where you're either poisoning people
I love this. Steve Scroven is the most unlikely looking superhero I've ever seen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. You can't. I'm sitting on my cape, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, let's promote this thing one more time for you, and then I want to ask you about any future stuff you got going on.
Okay.
And then we'll get out of here for today, because I think we did well.
Should I share my... Yeah.
My producer's doing this side. Yeah. He's like going in. Go in.
No.
Finish.
Steal second.
Yeah.
But Public Citizen... which I will be attending Sunday. I will not be performing, but I will perform outside for you if you come for me.
He'll be smoking a cigarette while we finish.
Yeah,
Fans of my show go to Public Citizen, I will be outside and I will do 5 minutes.
You get to meet the Matthew Aaron in person.
Yes. Yeah, and you'll have to go there to find out what he means by performing.
I have personally shared this on my Facebook page, on the show's Facebook page. Caesar did on his Facebook page,
you know,
Twitter.
That's great. I love that. Do that, and you could do it again because I wrote a little post for the Huffington Post.
Yes.
And the title of it is How Public Citizen is Exactly Like Battlestar Galactica.
Did you just write this?
I posted it last Thursday.
The new one or the old one?
Oh, so it's already...
The new one.
It's already gone up?
It's gone up, but you can link to it.
I will link you.
Link to that because it promotes the event in a funny way, I think, because I'm hooked on my family and I. We've been Netflixing.
No, Binder and I, we were just talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Star Galactica.
We can't.
Addicting.
The remake. Yeah,
addicting. You can't stop.
It's addicting. We like do two episodes. One time we did three episodes in one night.
Oh.
I found out. I was telling somebody about this, and somebody, you know, Portlandia did a sketch on that, and we looked it up, and they did a sketch where Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein get addicted to Battlestar Galactica and don't leave the house. They turn the electricity off. They lose their jobs. That's how we feel.
One day I'll watch Portlandia.
But Public Citizen
yes.
is exactly like Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, that's true. I heard that.
For those of
I've
you,
heard that.
You don't even have to know the show. So go to the Huffington Post and look me up, and you'll see that little post and the parallels that I draw there.
But definitely go www.citizen.org. They got the Stand Up for Main Street site there. Just go to tickets or sponsor. Sponsor means donate. So if you want to donate a few dollars, you're not in town. For our Chicago folk, for our New York folk, for our Italy folk. Australia, Texas, whatever.
For
we know
our
you're out
folk.
There. Yeah, the Poe folk, you
yep.
can just put $1. Just
yep.
one. One's fine. But tickets are $100. They're at the, you click on the tickets, you put in the credit card, you're good to go. It's at the Writers Guild Theater at 6:30, 8:30 p.m. Sunday, April 29th. That's this Sunday. It's at 135 South Doheny Drive in Beverly Hills, California. Ray Romano, Mark Maron, Dana Gould, Wendy Liebman, Rick Overton, Eric Rivera, and Morgan Murphy. And if you're lucky, maybe you'll see Mike Royce, Aaron Schur, you'll see Steve Scroven in the audience. Maybe.
I'll be on stage a little bit.
Are you going to do any funny?
I'll probably try to do something funny, very little. But David Feldman will be hosting and probably see my good friend Jimmy Dore.
Yes, and if you see Scott Frank, tell him he has my career, and I'd like to have it back.
Okay.
But we will be there this week. Steve, what else do you got going on in the future? Anything we can look forward to? Anything you could talk about, not talk about?
Well, a lot of things I cannot talk about because
that's
they haven't come to fruition. But I'm writing a pilot. I don't want to talk too much about it in order to jinx it.
Or some asshole sealed it, but yes.
Yes, but yes, I'm writing a pilot. I'm executive producing another documentary. This
cool.
about
really?
Nuclear power. Yes,
okay. I did not know that.
And it's still sort of in the beginning stages.
Are you going to get Morgan Freeman to talk over it?
It's standard.
Yeah,
you have to. It's a guild rule.
And
it's a guild rule.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And the old Fishers were holding still after all those years. I think it'll be good.
Is that your Morgan Freeman?
That's not my best impression.
That was like your Lindsay Lohan.
I know.
You're usually pretty good with
the impression. What is your best impression?
Not that one.
Gilbert Gottfried is probably my better one. One of my better ones.
Oh, wait, do a little Gilbert for us.
At the Last Supper, why did they all sit at the same side of the table?
I think it's pretty good, right?
Gilbert Gottfried, another guy that I remember from New York when I started. And he would perform with his back to the audience.
Yeah.
And I remember he was at the comic strip late one night, and hardly anybody in the audience, and he's doing his performance with his back to the audience, and
yes.
there was a piano on stage, and he looks at the piano keys. He just stares at the piano, and he goes, "What are you smiling at?"
I thought it made sense at the time because I thought it would be funny, but I couldn't get to, I can't play a lick.
It's good. The only thing is, I think Gilbert's Jewish enough without you adding that little extra Jew.
But I squinted my eyes.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Yes, you did. I like your Andy Garcia, if it makes you feel
right,
better.
Right.
Do a little Andy Garcia.
Well, the Andy Garcia voice is because basically he doesn't talk like this. So I made him sound like Lorenzo Lamas, like the most interesting man in the world, because I think that's how he talks.
Yeah.
He's talk a lot like this. Listen, young man. I will have your job if you. But like he's.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Andy
yeah. No, it's there. It's not. He doesn't quite roll the R's or anything.
Right.
No,
he doesn't do the big rolls. It's a little.
But you have an essence. There.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got the volume thing.
I know.
The volume's down.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
You got that low tone he talks.
Mm-hmm.
You got that.
Okay.
See,
so
See, if you want to get my buddies and everybody else, Raymond, upset, especially Tucker Cawley, the aforementioned. I do very old, bad impressions of, like, George C. Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Ed
Sullivan. Oh, yeah.
Ed Tucker Sullivan. Cawley hates
they,
your
oh,
fantastic
Tucker,
impressions.
Tucker will actually, here's how perverse Tucker is. He will actually say, don't do that. Don't do Harvey Fierstein, knowing that I'll do it just so he can say, shut up.
Matt does a good Harvey Fierstein.
Wow.
Yeah? Can you do Harvey Fierstein? Yeah. Go ahead. Let's do some dueling Harvey Fierstein.
It hurts my voice. David, why am I telling my mother to go to Atlanta?
Independence Day.
Yes.
David, why am I telling my mother to go to Atlanta?
Or when he was doing Torch Song Trilogy back in the 80s in theater.
Right.
Come to my show. I just want to be loved. I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong?
I loved him in that Cheers episode with Kirstie Alley. Kirstie Alley used to date him in high school, and he comes into the bar, and Kirstie thinks she's going to, like, marry him.
Harvey Fierstein.
And then you find out, he's gay, but, like, it's hilarious. Harvey's great. Harvey's actually really entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear he's a pain in the ass, but he friended me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then defriended me.
Oh.
I don't know if he liked something I said or not.
Do you know him?
I didn't know him. He added me on the Facebook. He was doing...
So you asked to be his
Fiddler
friend.
Fiddler on the Roof, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, I asked to be his friend so I can get him on the show.
He was doing Fiddler on the Roof?
But then I never asked him to be on the show.
Right.
He added me. He sent me a message saying...
Who are you?
No, thank you for adding me. Are you a fan?
Are you a fan? Because I just want to be loved. Is that the wrong?
Wait. Was he was doing Fiddler on the Roof? He was doing a play?
Yeah.
Who was he? Was he Tevye?
I don't know. I emailed him back and
it's
I go...
It's Nigel Mary's Laser Wolf. I'm not...
I go, I'm a fan, Harvey, and blah, blah, blah. We're friends for weeks. He's commenting on my statuses. I'm commenting on his statuses.
Wow.
I go, maybe I'm like his straight BFF.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And then he deletes me out of nowhere.
How long after you friended him did he delete you?
A month and a half.
Okay.
I think it was a status update.
Okay.
Some homophobic rant.
You know what? No, maybe he goes
funny.
Through
it
his friends and he...
It wasn't a rant, but I do like to... I do get very...
You get a little soapboxy.
Yes, but I'm not afraid to call out people even based on race and religion and sexuality, and it probably was something. Or I made a gay joke.
Okay.
Yes.
Whatever.
I think you know.
Get over it, Harvey.
I think you know why you broke up with Harvey.
Okay. Why I broke up with Harvey.
Yes. We love you, Harvey.
We need to get Harvey on here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to work at it again. I'm going to add him again. And I'm going to be like, this time we're going to make it work, Harvey.
Yeah.
Let's make it work. Please.
Come on.
I'm a changed man.
Steve, I'm so happy you came to do the show.
I'm so happy. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, really. You had the best windscreens of any show I've ever done, by the way, on the microphones.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is really classy.
I'm going to make sure Marin's promoting this show. And if he doesn't, I'm going to email him. He's going to get an email. I'm not one against emailing people.
Wow.
I will send nasty emails.
No.
Ask Mike Royce. I basically just beat him up into coming here tomorrow instead of doing it on the phone.
Okay.
I bet he's mad at me now. I think he's mad at me now.
No.
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow, but I think Royce is mad at me.
You played ball. You played ball, and that's what you got to do.
I played hardball, though. That was rude.
You played hardball.
Chris Matthews, that's okay.
Right. And just make sure you plug the shit out of the event.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Did you read it?
Yeah. Oh, where was I?
Caesar just read the HuffPost article about Battlestar Galactica.
Great. That's where I was at before Lee started doing his best Dave Coulier's. No, but really, though. And Hot Chicks are sending me. Oh, I don't know what to do right now. But anyways, okay. Sorry.
Oh, Christ's sake.
Yeah, while they finish?
Lee knows I have a... Yes, they're finishing.
They're finished being looked at by you.
Lee knows I have this affinity. I have really bad ADD when women come into the picture.
Yeah.
Really good ADD otherwise.
I'll be talking about, like, the most serious thing ever.
Yeah.
And then as soon as one chick walks by,
and they're
I lose
just like
all thought.
Oh, she's totally hot. Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
It's really
yeah, you just
bad.
Brains just trickle down your pants, right?
Yes. Yeah. So here's where I was at. I am sharing this on Facebook. Caesar shared it on Facebook. The show's page shared it on Facebook. I'm sure Lee will when he gets home.
Yeah.
Lee, the hater of Steve Scroben.
Oh,
all right. That's all right. Fine. That's no, fine. You share it when you feel like
okay.
it. Twitter, we've shared it. We're going to share the Huffington Post article.
Great. Excellent.
But Stand Up for Main Street, Public Citizen Presents. Go to citizen.org for $100. You get a ticket, but I know you're
like
$100.
Like, yeah.
Well, okay. 99 of it goes to Ray Romano. No, I'm just
it's, first of all, it's tax deductible, and you would never be able to pay for this kind of show otherwise.
Beautiful. It's true. 2 hours, you get Ray Romano, Mark Maron, Dana Gould, Wendy Liebman, Rick Overton, Eric Rivera, and Morgan Murphy. It's like the Murderer's Row of comedy,
yeah,
as you said.
It's too good a show. As a matter of fact, I may take one of these people off the show.
And Wendy Liebman's kind of hot, so if you're a guy and you're like, my
yeah.
wife is wanting to go, you can come stare at Wendy.
I'm
going to
tell Wendy
cute.
You said that. Maybe she'll come on your show.
Oh, that would be nice.
I will say. You
Wendy's
should...
fun.
Where was I? Where was I?
See, you see what I mean?
Where was I?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Public Citizen.
Public Citizen.
Not to be confused with Citizens United or Public United.
Citizen.org, yes. None of those other Citizen United.
No.
Yes, once again, though, please go to citizen.org. Stand Up for Main Street. It's at the Writers Guild Theater on Doheny. It's Sunday night, 6:30 to 8:30, $100. Or you could sponsor, put in as much money as you want. Give a little, give a lot, whatever.
Great.
Steve's not going to quibble.
No, not at all. And it's funny. Do we still have a little more time? One
sure,
more time?
Sure.
We're talking. It's funny because we were publicizing it last year, and they would run all the emails by me before they sent them out. And one that came up fairly late in the process was supposed to be from me. And they ran it by me, and I approved it. And then seconds after they posted it, Mike Royce, the aforementioned, emails me and says, "Are you kidding me? Really?" And in the subject line, it said, "Pubic Citizen." Pubic Citizens Stand Up for Main Street. And I had missed it. They had missed it in Washington before they'd sent it out. And I called them up in D.C. and I said, did you see what we sent out? Pubic Citizen. And they were mortified. They were just mortified that this had gone out. Well, no, that they had embarrassed me because my name was on it, and I had to tell them.
Oh, yeah, they think you're a big star still.
They don't know that I'm a washed-up guy with an artificial hip. And so I said to them, no, this is good. First of all, don't be I'm a comedian. What we can do now is we send out a correction, and we call attention to it. You'll get more people to open the email with the correction. So we were trying to figure out a way we could screw it up again so that we could, for an excuse to send out an extra email. But they couldn't get over the fact that I was actually thinking that was a positive.
A pubic citizen.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You had to issue something saying.
No, but you're,
your
right,
yeah.
You're right, though. You're right, though. You get to then send out the correction.
But they were months later, I went to D.C. for another event, and the person who was responsible came up to me and apologized. I said, "Don't apologize. You did us a favor. We didn't do it on purpose, but we took advantage of
it." This organization is not affiliated with any human hair located below the solar plexus or any affiliation thereof.
We are nonpartisan as far as hair goes.
Nonpartisan towards hair.
Yes, bald people, hairy people, whatever.
A little of both.
A little of both, yes.
whatever floats your boat.
Yes.
Well, Steve Scroben, 2-time Emmy Award winner, so you're not a nobody. Those Public Citizens, they found the right guy.
We'll see.
2-time Emmy Award winner, and those aren't daytime Emmys, folks. Everybody loves Raymond.
No, they gave it to us at night.
They gave you the day.
Yeah, it was the whole Emmy Award thing was at night.
Very good, very good. Did you have to dress up and everything?
That we did dress up for.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. who presented you the awards, do you remember?
Who presented us? We won as a show.
Twice, right,
Mike Myers was the first one.
All right.
And the second one, I don't remember. Because we were surprised, because we didn't think we'd win, because it was our last season.
Yeah, but if this was a game of high-low, you gave me a tough card. Mike Myers. Is it better than Mike Myers or not better than Mike Myers? This is like you gave me a six.
I don't remember. Tucker actually won an individual Emmy for writing, and I remember who gave it to him. It was Conan O'Brien.
Didn't he pay off the Emmy Award committee?
Well, obviously. Okay. Yeah. And by the way, I wrote the episode. Yeah. I told you I was carrying those guys.
He's working on Up All Night now, right, Tucker?
I think he is, yes.
Yeah, good for him.
No, Tucker is very talented. And
Conan gave him his award.
I think Conan gave him his award.
That's nice.
And the thing about that was we had watched an Emmy tape of Conan's anniversary show, and we all in the writers' room, and we all really liked it. So when Tucker went up to get his Emmy, he whispered to Conan, "Hey, we all loved your anniversary show." And Conan later on said, "I can't believe this guy's just won an Emmy award, and he's talking about my show."
Because when you pay off to win an Emmy, the surprise is already gone. You know you're
I will not
it.
Sit here and have you cast aspersions on my good friend Tucker Collins.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
If you want to cast aspersions on Lou Schneider, go right ahead.
Lou.
I'll jump right in.
Oh, poor Lou. Poor Lou.
Lou.
Well, I am so happy you did this. I can't wait to see you Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you for the promotion and
something I really, really dig.
Thank you for doing the show. We're both way behind it. I mean what you're doing. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lee. Thanks, Matthew. Thanks, Caesar.
Yep. And
Hail Caesar.
We're all behind.
Hail Caesar. And once again, Steve Scroven, of course, from the legendary Everybody Loves Raymond. Public Citizen is doing stand up for Main Street this Sunday. 6:30 to 8:30. One last hard sell at the Writers Guild Theater. You can get tickets at www.citizens.org. Citizen.org. Not S. No S. Citizen.org. Stand up for Main Street. Ray Romano, Mark Maron, Dana Gould, Wendy Liebman, Rick Overton, Eric Rivera, and Morgan Murphy. Please see us out there. And thank you very much for joining us today. We will be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock with the Mike Royce, creator of Men of a Certain Age, which is one of my favorite shows.
Great show.
And Everybody Loves Raymond, of course. And
yeah,
he's
great
got
writer.
Some new show with Stamos or something, whatever.
Yeah, he's been in the bunker editing that.
Yeah. All right, I believe you, Royce, whatever. All right, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Later.